الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، as Allama Sha'rani continues with expounding on the different rights that brothers have over other brothers, people have between them, he says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِ أَلَّا يَنْظُرَ لَهُ بِعَيْنِ الْإِحْتِقَارِ فَقَدْ قَالَ الْمَشَائِخِ مَنْ نَظَرَ إِلَىٰ أَخِيهِ بِعَيْنِ إِحْتِقَارٍ عُوقِبَ بِالذُّلِّ وَالْخِزِّ. One of the other rights that we need to have between us is, do not look at your brother, do not look at your fellow with an eye of disdain. Because nobody really knows in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what that person holds. They may be doing some strange things right now, but nobody knows. I mean, disdaining their action is one thing, but disdaining the person, believing that they have no possibility, no potential for improvement, reform, or going to Jannah. That's essentially what it comes down to. Especially when you're trying to benefit from somebody, when you've got friends and you have some friendship with somebody, then you should definitely not look at somebody with the eye of disdain. The ulama mentioned that anybody who looks at his brother with this eye of disdain, then he himself will be punished with humiliation. Humiliation and disgrace. In a hadith it mentions that anybody who looks at his brother with an eye of... it seems like a weak hadith, but anybody who looks at his brother with love, then sins are forgiven. Another right of a brother over another brother is, إِذَا اطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْبٍ فِيهِ أَنْ يَتَّهِمْ نَفْسَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ وَيَقُولْ إِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ الْعَيْبُ فِيَّ لِأَنَّ الْمُسْلِمْ مِرْآةُ الْمُسْلِمِ. One is that if you ever come to know about a defect in your brother, a fault of your brother, whatever that fault is, maybe he drives bad, maybe he eats too much, maybe he smokes, you know, you didn't know. And then suddenly one day you discover the guy smokes. You smelt it. Or you saw him. And he's trying to hide it. There's a lot of people who try to do it. They try to hide their smoking habit, because most smokers, they're not very happy about their habits. They'd love to get out of it. But those initial days of fun, unfortunately they have deep roots. It's very difficult. But a lot of people in Ramadan, they do give up. I know a number of people have given up. Again, it's just that mind over matter. And a bit of suffering, but inshallah, happiness afterwards. So anyway, you discover something about somebody. So what should you do? I went to somebody's house. Somebody I know well. And he's got a toilet outside. A bathroom outside. And I just happened to go there and I saw all these cigarette butts. It's an unused bathroom. But that's where he does his smoking. Now, I just discovered that. I felt bad about it. But how are you supposed to deal with this? So this is when you discover an aib in somebody. So it says that if you discover an aib in somebody, then a person should accuse themselves of it. What that means is, he should say that I may have a similar type of a fault. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the believer is a mirror of another believer. And whenever a person looks into the mirror, they're going to see themselves. So if I'm seeing myself in my brother, then that fault is really mine. It's a communal fault in a sense. At the end of it. So don't just blame him for that fault, but blame myself for the fault as well. And this will help us to deal with the toxic aspect of it. How do we deal with it? Because I may have a fault as well like that. And I would like to be treated likewise, and not for my faults to be told to others as well. So just remember that a believer is the mirror of another believer. So when we look at others, we're seeing ourselves. Somebody stayed in the company of Abu Ishaq. Ibrahim ibn Adham, one of the great pious Salaf, he stayed with him for a while. Ibrahim ibn Adham, many of you may know, he's originally from Balkh. He was royalty, he was a prince, he was the children of some of the leaders of that area. But he decided to give all of that up, and he became known for great level of scrupulousness. So much so that if he wasn't 100% sure about the food that he was eating, he would suffice with eating soil or something like that, just so that nothing haram went into his stomach. One of his very famous du'as is, Allahumma anqulni min dhulli ma'siyatika ila izzi ta'atik. O Allah, take me from the humiliation of disobeying you to the honor of obeying you. That was a constant du'a of his, which is a wonderful du'a. Take me away from the humiliation of disobeying you. Because that's a humiliation, really. It's a humiliation to the honor of obedience. So somebody stayed with his company for a while, and when it came time to depart, he said to Sheikh Ibrahim ibn Adham, tell me, what have you seen in me? What defects have you seen in me? You know, he's an honest, sincere person trying to correct himself. So he says, what do you see in me? He said, Ya Akhi, Inni lam ara laka aiban. I don't see any defect in you. And the person is probably saying, I've got so many defects. Is he lying? Is he not telling me? He says, I don't see any defects in you. Then he explained why. He says, لِأَنِّي لَحَظْتُكَ بِعَيْنِ الْوَدَادِ. Because I've been constantly assessing you and approaching you with an eye of love, an eye of affection. So فَاسْتَحْسَنْتُ مِنْكَ مَا رَأَيْتِ. Everything that I've seen of you, I've always looked at it with good meaning. I've liked everything that I've seen. فَسَلْ غَيْرِي عَنْ عَيْبِكَ. Go and ask somebody else about your defects, because I can't give you any defects. I've just been looking at you with an eye of affection, so there's no way that I can see any defects. So essentially it's like looking at somebody, you know, with that initial period of romance where you don't see any defects. If only that kind of period, even with the spouse. All of these things that we're speaking about, if somebody can just act like that with their spouse, who's the lifelong companion. In fact, the spouse, the husband, wife, is such a companion that it's not limited to this world. Because if there's going to be anybody together in Jannah, it's going to be a husband and wife. So if you've got a very good friend, you're not going to be together in Jannah in the same house. He's going to have his inshallah and you're going to have yours. But husband and wife will be together in one house. You're not even going to be with your son or daughter, mother or father. Everybody's going to have their own. The unit is the husband and wife. So who more than, in terms of companionship, to fulfill these rights for? And a lot of these are extremely beneficial. And I guarantee you there will be people sitting, listening to this, will be thinking that yes, if this will be my solution for my marital problem. وَعَيْنُ الرِّضَى عَنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَلِيلَةٌ كَمَا أَنَّ عَيْنَ السَّخْطِ تُبْدِي الْمَسَاوِيَا. Says that whenever you look at something with an eye of satisfaction, then it will be blind of all types of defects. If you're an Apple fan, Mac fan, you don't see any defects. You only see the defects in a PC. And if you're a PC person or an Android person, you see defects in the Apple. If nothing else, you'll see that the Apple is bitten. And it's not a complete Apple. So this is the level we go to when it comes to these kind of things. You will notice these things. For the Apple fan, when he looks at the Apple phone, that part that's special, even though it's bitten off and it seems defective, that is the quality, that is the significance. For somebody else, it looks like something else. So you can look at everything in two different ways. Another right of between brothers is أن يرى نفسه دونه على الدوام. A person should always consider themselves to be inferior to their brother all the time. That I'm not better than him. A person should always consider themselves to be lower than their brother. And this is not just trying to make it up like that, but ala sabil al-yaqeen. They should actually believe that. Now you might think that's difficult. Why? That's overdoing it. Why should you do that for? Well, because none of us really know who's better in the sight of Allah, do we? None of us know who's better in the sight of Allah. So why shouldn't we think that? You might say, well, he's a big sinner. Well, he might be a sinner right now, but tomorrow he may not be a sinner, and we may be sinners tomorrow. Because we haven't died yet. There's no guarantee. We haven't been sealed yet. The khatam hasn't happened. That's why they say that إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Actions are according to their sealing states, how they end. So our life, how it ends, is really what's going to matter. That's what you call the sealing state. That's why we ask for husnul khatimah. Means a good sealing state, a good ending. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, his dua was, O Allah, make the best of my life the last of my life. Khayra ayyami akhirahu. The best of my days, the last of my days. So we never know. So when I read this verse, I thought, maybe is that a bit overdoing, and how do you do that? He says, no, you have an sabil yaqeen, la ala sabil al-dhanni wa al-takhmeen. This is not just speculation on your part that he may be better than me. Or estimation. No, believes that he is better than you. فَقَدْ قَالُوا مَنْ لَمْ يَرَ نَفْسَهُ دُونَ أَخِيهِ لَمْ يَنْتَفِعْ بِصُحْبَتِهِ. He's saying this for a different reason. If you've got a friend, then how can you benefit from somebody? How can you benefit from a companion? You can only benefit from them if you feel they're superior to a certain degree. If they feel they've got something, if you feel they've got something to offer you. That's why one of the things that my wife always gives us advice to, for married couples is, especially for women, is that never get married to somebody that you will not have respect for. Don't get married to somebody that you don't think is superior to you. Because you know the hierarchy of a married life, especially in Islam, and in general, but especially in Islam, the husband being the head of the household as such, right? Then it requires this respect, for the Islamic respect that a wife has to give her husband. And of course the honor by which the husband has to deal with his wife. The dynamic requires that you feel that you've got respect. But this doesn't mean that the husband then has to feel the wife is inferior to him. She should have a lot to offer him as well. And it should be a belief, a full conviction. So that's why, subhanAllah, one woman said that there's no way that I can get married to, and again, this is just a personal perspective, she's from England, she doesn't believe that she can get married to somebody from India or Pakistan, just because I don't want to be ungrateful. He may have all the qualities, but because the language will be a barrier for me, that may just put in my mind an inferiority aspect there. Again, this doesn't have to happen with everybody, because there's a lot of people who come from outside who have great qualities and the language is not a barrier at all. But for some people it's a barrier. Depends on what your point of view is and what you are concerned about. But with any companion that you're going to be with, consider that they've got something to offer you. So the way you can do that is look for their good points. Believe me, you can do that with any companion. I've had the occasion to travel with many different people, something like that. You have to find a way to benefit from them. There's no point just sitting there, in a long journey, and you think, I can't get anything out of this. We should always be learning and benefiting. And the way you can do that is by seeing what somebody can offer you. Abu al-Mawahib al-Shaziri, the great Shaykh, he says, لما علم أهل الله أن كل نبات لا ينبت ولا يثمر إلا بجعله تحت الأرض تعلوه الأرجل جعلوا نفوسهم أرضا للكل. This is the way the people of Allah think. He says that when the people of Allah, the awliya, when they realized that any plant, any growth, any organic growth, anything that organically grows, does not grow or bear fruit except by being under the ground and covered by the earth upon which the feet of men walk. They can only grow after that happens, after you've covered it with the soil, after things have gone over it. Only then does it bear fruit and grow. When they realized that that's the way organic things happen, then they also made their nufus, their themselves, the land for everybody, that everybody can take benefit from them. Essentially, put yourself down, then your growth will come. They say that somebody who comes fresh out of college or madrasa or whatever it is, and then he gains immediate popularity, he is in a very critical state. If you get fame too quickly, it's in a very, because it gets to your head and you want more of it. That's just the way fame is. You want more of it, you want more of it. And if you lose it, you feel that you're losing some of it, then you will use unethical ways. Initially the fame came in ethical ways. Allah gave you some kind of qubuliyah as a test, and then it got to your head. That's why the procedure that they're explaining here is what the hadith mentions, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Anybody who humbles himself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise them. So if anybody's become famous too fast, then they should realize that this could be a test for them, and they should be very, very careful. In fact, according to Sayyidi Ali al-Wafa, he says that the earth has been spread out so far. Despite being the earth, it's the most spread and extensive thing that we know. Because to teach you tawadu, to teach you humility. So if you also humble yourself like the earth, you will also become more extensive. Your sphere of influence will also be extended. Though that's not why you should do this. You should do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I get these questions from some of the students sometimes, saying, there's certain teachers of ours, I see that they're not eating with three fingers. There are certain outward faults I see on them. Now, clearly what happens to young people when they start the madrasa, when they start studying, is that they want to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They want to see their teachers as the Prophet. Nothing wrong, perfect, you know. It's not going to happen. We're not living in those kind of times anymore. We all have defects. As I said yesterday, you know, we read yesterday as well that the greatest person will have some defects. So when you don't notice that, it becomes, shaitan then makes that a barrier for you to benefit from such a person. Their lectures, their teaching, their nasiha. You think, well, you're not fully practicing. Well, you're not fully practicing. It says in there that as long as it's not something shari'i haram, then do not consider that to be a big problem. Eating with three fingers is a sunnah, but it's not haram to eat with five. Or with your whole fist, for that matter, though they discourage that. Some cultures just have the whole fist as their way of eating. It does look a bit strange when you first see it, but for them it's quite normal to make rice into balls with their whole fist and throw them in their mouth. But that's just the way different cultures are. So Imam Nawawi says, now Imam Nawawi used to study 12 lessons a day, an hour each. So he used to study for 12 hours, he used to take 12 different lessons. He had 12 additional hours of the day to do the rest of his work and eating and everything in. He's taking 12 hours of lessons, not 45 minutes, but hour lessons. You can imagine, and he died at a very young age. So he says that he used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, O Allah, veil my teacher's faults from me. Don't let me see my teacher's faults. Because that would become a barrier. If I saw them, it would become a barrier for my benefiting from them. I'm there for a reason. He's got hadith. I want to take that hadith from him. He's got tafsir. I want to study tafsir from him. He's got fiqh. I want to acquire my fiqh and jurisprudence from him. If I see certain other defects, it's going to become a barrier. And there's two verses that he quotes in this regard. He says, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not purify yourselves. Because Allah knows, Allah is most aware of who really has taqwa. And إِنَّ أَقْرَبَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most noble among you is the one who has the most taqwa. And taqwa is something in the heart. So it's very possible that the one you're looking at, though he may have a few external faults here and there, he may not be eating with three fingers, but he may have more taqwa than you. Because eating with three fingers is not a guarantee of taqwa, though it's a great sunnah. The person may have a more pure heart than you have. His niyyah may be more pure, and his actions may be more particular than you. That's why a person should never feel too mighty, too big, to study from somebody who's younger. Somebody who's younger, somebody who's not of the same social standing as us, or even in deen, the person is not as knowledgeable as us. For example, I want to refresh my knowledge of the 7 qira'at. I can't find many ulama who around the area that I can go and study this with. So a student has come who's studying the 7 qira'at and he's nearly finished. So I graduated years ago. You know, he respects me for my knowledge, right, of what he thinks I have. But I've actually approached him to say, after Dhuhr during Ramadan, can I come and refresh my qira'at with you, because he's just studied it afresh. I haven't done it for a while. So I've approached him, and he's probably half my age or less than that. Because when it comes to knowledge, you want to have knowledge? Well, go and get it. Knowledge is there. The person is just the carrier. The knowledge is Allah's knowledge. So don't let these things become a barrier. It's very important. I've seen many mashayikh of the past who've had teachers that are younger than them. And there's a special category for them in hadith as well. Riwayatul akabir min al-asaghir. Transmitting narrations, the older people transmitting narrations from younger people than them, because somehow they went far and wide and got a narration that they didn't have. Another right between brothers is always to give them preference over ourselves. Now that's understood. To give somebody preference over ourselves, especially with friends, that's very important. Because they've said that لا يسود أحد على أقرانه إلا إن آثرهم على نفسه واحتمل أذاهم ولم يشاركهم في شيء مما استشرفت إليه نفوسهم. Nobody, if you really want to be a leader and you truly want to be honored, then understand this rule. Nobody becomes a leader over his peers. Nobody gains honor over his peers unless this individual gives others, his peers, preference over themselves, bears their annoyances, because people can be annoying without wanting to be, tolerates their annoyances. You're going to have to be tolerant. Person who gets angry on things that go wrong, very difficult. You've heard that story when you're young, maybe, of that princess who was so nazuk, I mean, sensitive, right? That she could feel if the bedding wasn't straight and there was even like a small seed underneath, she could feel it. So even if it was over 10 mattresses, she could still feel it. Kaisi nazakat, right? And what kind of sensitivity is that? How can you live your life like that? Allah protect us from that kind of stuff. Okay, I do have some problems as well. I can't take London water. I just don't enjoy it. So it's a suffer. I mean, it's a calamity, I think. I don't feel the satisfaction at all when you drink the London water. I've been out too long. And really, London water is really... I'm really sorry for saying this here. I have to buy my water. It's azab, I think, to a certain degree. But you just don't enjoy it. You go to Birmingham, you drink a glass of water, you feel satisfied. You go up to Lancashire or Yorkshire, you feel good with the water there. But London, Leicester, the water is just not that great. I don't know if any of you have that problem. If you do, then ask Allah for release from it. I insist with my children, no, you drink your local. Because, I mean, if you have to buy your water, and you can't just go to the tap, and that's a nazuk, that's a nazakat. So not all kind of sensitivities are good. Yes, sensitivities from bad things and evil things and from dirt and impurity, that's a good thing. The person is very careful about his istinja and all that. That kind of nazakat is very good, because it will keep you pure and clean. Unless it's to a degree that you have to have a shower 5 times a day. You know, that gets a bit extreme in anything. So, a person has to tolerate people's annoyances. And number two, that you do not become a competition in the things that their desires, what that they desire. This is based on a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah, wazhad fi ma 'inda an-nas yuhibbuka an-nas." What that means is abstain from or exercise restraint from the world and Allah will love you. Because the competition for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our love for the world. The more you love the world, the less you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the less we respect Him. So that's the competition there. There's no competition, but that's the competition for us. We've made it a competition. And abstain from what is in the hands of people and they will love you because they don't see you as a competition. Most problems, jealousy, arrogance, all of these things happen because you perceive people as a threat. You perceive, and it's your superiority under stake. That's why. When you see somebody simple and doesn't, then you like that person just naturally. So simple people are more beloved to people than others. Simple people generally get by with everybody. And people with some talent, they have to win hearts of people. And they'll win some and they won't win others. That's why people with talent will always have envious. Because you've got something that others want. So you either win over people, which is not always possible. But if you don't, then just you're gonna have to understand that يُرْمَ الْحَجَرْ عَلَى الشَّجَرْ ذَاتَ الثَّمَرْ. Stones are only thrown at trees that bear fruits, not on trees that don't have any fruits. So just understand that it's gonna happen. You're going to have people who will be jealous of you or who will attack you. It's normal. So anybody who wants to become honorable among his peers, he's gonna have to bear with these three things. The next right he speaks about between brothers is أَنْ يَخْدِمَهُ إِذَا مَرِضَ. To be at his service especially when he's sick. To serve him when he's sick. فَقَدْ ذَكَرُوا أَنَّ الْفُتُوَّةَ فِي خِدْمَةِ الْإِخْوَانِ. They've mentioned that magnanimity, right, is futuwa. Futuwa is this quality inside a person which encourages you, pushes you, inspires you to spend and be generous to others. It increases preferring others over oneself. It increases that ability for us to prefer others over us. You've just got something really nice. Somebody said, oh, that looks really nice. I mean, I'd love to have one of those. Here you go, brother. It's a very difficult thing to do. The Prophet ﷺ did that. The Prophet ﷺ received a very expensive garment. Can't remember exactly which garment it was. It's in the Shama'il. Extremely valuable garment. And somebody came and said, oh, I'm in need of something like this. And the Prophet ﷺ gave it to him. Others went and told that person off. He said that the Prophet ﷺ received it and he was in need of it. It's not like he had 10 garments. You know, like you have 5 pairs of shoes and 7 jackets. And no, this was something he had one of that he needed. But the Prophet's magnanimity was just amazing. And you'll see it on the Day of Judgment when even the other prophets will be saying, Nafsi, Nafsi. He'll be saying, Ummati, Ummati. And he's just concerned about others. It's like he's the highest level of futuwa that you can have. So he says that if you have futuwa, it means you're going to be assisting others and serving others. And generally people who serve others, they get the most respect. They get the most people like such people. The people remember them. Especially after their death, more people will go to that person's janazah. If you want people to increase, you know, if you want a lot of people to come to your funeral, then serve others. That's one definite way you'll get people at your funeral. Because people feel that obligation. Because at the end of the day, at the heart of it, our essence, our core is Al-insanu abdul ihsan. That's what this is a saying, that the human, the insan, is a slave of goodwill. A slave of goodwill. Anybody who shows us goodwill, we become their slaves, whether we like it or not. Right? It's not a bad thing. It's just that when it comes to death, people will go. That's why Junayd al-Baghdadi, another one of the great, like Ibrahim Adham that we spoke about, this Junayd al-Baghdadi, he mentions, يَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَخْدِمَ إِخْوَانَ. It is necessary for a person to serve his brothers. ثُمَّ يَعْتَذِرْ إِلَيْهِمْ بِأَنَّهُ مَا قَامَ بِوَاجِبِ حَقِّهِمْ.
But then after that, to make excuses to them that I've been unable to fulfill your complete rights. To serve your brother, they come to your house, you're going to help them somehow. But then to say, I'm really sorry I couldn't do it as much as I should have done it, as much as was due to you. وَيُقِرُّ لَهُمْ بِالْخِيَانَةِ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. And he said, look, I wasn't able to fulfill it completely. In fact, you should think, he says, that I could have done more, but I didn't do that. وَلَوْ عَلِمَ أَنَّهُ بَرِيءُ السَّاحَةِ. He should declare that I'm guilty of not doing this. So a person then must confess of betrayal. That I've actually betrayed you, because betrayal means that I didn't fulfill what should have been done. I had shortcomings in this regard. Even though he knows that he's free of that. But then he makes a clarification, just in case somebody takes this to an extreme. Unless by your expressing that you've betrayed him, you're going to get a penalty or a court case against you, right? This Junaid al-Baghdadi, his name was Abu al-Qasim. He is considered the Imam of the Sufis, the Imam of the pious Zuhad of the past. He's agreed upon. He was originally from Nahawand, which is in Persia. But then he was brought up in Iraq. And he was a Shafi'i faqih who studied with Abu Thawr. And his uncle was Sariya Saqati, one of the other early pious ascetics that are famous. Ibrahim ibn Adham, Junaid al-Baghdadi, Sariya Saqati, Bayezid al-Bistami. These are like the famous, the really famous ones that you see in all books of Zuhud and Tasawwuf and all of this. So he is one of them. His uncle was Sariya Saqati. He also stayed with Harith al-Muhasibi, another one. This is very famous. He died in 297. He's the one who said, now you know that some Sufis, they get a bit exotic and they start doing weird things and everything. So the biggest evidence comes from the Imam of them, who's the Imam of the real Sufis, who says, "At-turuq kulluha masduda." All the paths to Allah are closed upon the creation, except for the one who follows in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's only the sunnah that's the true tasawwuf and purity. وَمَا أَخَذْنَا طَرِيقَ التَّصَوُّفْ عَنِ الْقِيلِ وَقَالَ. We did not take our tasawwuf from just hearsay, from what people said, so and so said, and so on. لَكِنْ عَنِ الْجُوعِ وَتَرْكِ الدُّنْيَا وَقَتْءِ الْمَأْلُوفَاتِ وَالْمُسْتَحْسَنَاتِ. But we took it by through hunger. We took it by being hungry, by abandoning the dunya, and by severing our relationships with things that we loved, that affected us, and things that we considered to be nice, but they were not nice. So he's a true Sufi in that sense. So this is his statement. Abu al-Mawahib al-Shadili says, "Man ta'azzaza ala khidmati ikhwanihi." Anybody who thinks himself too high and mighty to serve his brothers, warathahu Allahu dhullan la infikaka lahu minhu abadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about for him a humiliation that he will never be able to remove. If you think you're too good to help others. وَمَنْ خَدِمَ إِخْوَانَهُ. This is based on his experience, he's mentioned in this, right? And from certain ahadith maybe. But then he says, وَمَنْ خَدِمَ إِخْوَانَهُ. Anybody who serves his brothers, أُعْتِيَ مِنْ خَالِسِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. Then anybody who serves his brothers, he's also given a share of the best of their actions. Because you are facilitating. It's like, if I feed somebody iftar, even a date just to break their fast with, I get the reward of proportion of their fast. They also get the reward, I also. There's lots of reward where it is, and there's not going to be any deficiency in their reward. But I also get reward. That's why if somebody is offering dates, you'd rather have somebody else's date than your own date. Because then you are giving somebody else the chance to also get some reward. It's like, if I've got access to a lounge, and I can take somebody else in, I may as well take him in with me. It's not going to cost me any extra. I lose that opportunity, I've lost it. You know, every time I go in, I can take somebody else with me, so let me take somebody with me. I think we'll, inshallah, stop here. We'll carry on tomorrow, inshallah. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين
Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive our sins. Oh Allah, have mercy on us. Oh Allah, treat us with your compassion. Oh Allah, the month of mercy is upon us. The month of blessing is on us. Oh Allah, the days are passing by. Already a few days have passed without us even realizing. Oh Allah, oh Allah, although this may be good, oh Allah, we may be deprived of the barakat if we don't take the barakat and the blessings. Oh Allah, do not deprive us of the blessings of this month. Oh Allah, the blessings are surrounding us. Oh Allah, do not make us of those who are deprived, but make us of those who take a full share of your mercy and your blessing during this month. Oh Allah, allow us to fulfill your obligations and make and be obedient to you. Oh Allah, allow us to make resolutions in this month so that which we can follow for the rest of our life that will make us better in insan, better individuals and closer to you. Oh Allah, grant us your love during this month. And oh Allah, whatever we gain during this month, allow us to endure and keep it for the rest of our lives. Oh Allah, make the best of our lives the last days of our life. Oh Allah, we ask that you bless us and bless our families and protect us and our families and our progeny until the day of judgment from all the evils that are out there. Oh Allah, each one of us wants closeness to you. That's why we're sitting here today in the masjid. Oh Allah, that's why we're sitting here. Oh Allah, we ask that you treat us with your compassion. Oh Allah, we need your mercy and your compassion. And oh Allah, your rivers of your mercy are constantly flowing. Oh Allah, we ask that you give us even a drop of this mercy. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with your light. Fill our hearts with your light. And oh Allah, we ask that you fulfill our permissible needs. You remove any obstacles from having a healthy and a life full of iman in this world. Oh Allah, make our surroundings conducive for our following in the footsteps of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, grant us barakah in our businesses, in our work, in our employment, in our family, in our households, in our health, and in everything around us. And oh Allah, especially in our iman, do not deprive us of shortcoming in our iman. Oh Allah, grant us the kalima la ilaha illallah on our deathbed. And oh Allah, allow us to imbibe one of these great characters and become true brothers and true fulfillers of the rights of our brothers. And oh Allah, we ask that you honor us in this world and especially in the hereafter, and protect us from the dishonor. Grant us the kalima la ilaha illallah on our deathbed. And oh Allah, bless all of those authors and all of those who've transmitted these great words down to us. And oh Allah, we ask that you bless all of those who have told us to make dua for them, and those who expect us to make dua for them, and those who are associated with all of us in whatever way, shape or form in our families. Oh Allah, grant abundant blessings on your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.